We are continuing to look at the Holy Spirit and learning about who He is and the work and ministry. And much of what we learn about the Holy Spirit is found in the New Testament. In fact, the majority of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is found in the New Testament, and it is especially applicable to us because we live in the time of the New Testament, and that's why that is a major emphasis of our study of the Holy Spirit is the New Testament. However, there is a strong foundation in the Old Testament that we must learn and then build upon. The Holy Spirit was not something that was just instituted in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit, because He is God that we looked at last Sunday night, is eternal. And as the eternal Spirit, He has been actively at work in the history of mankind. And we see this throughout the Old Testament. However, unfortunately, there are many that neglect the importance of the Old Testament in the study of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, they find themselves having a very shaky foundation in order for them to walk in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit, which are some of the other things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. It's important for us to go back to the Old Testament because this is where we first learn of the Holy Spirit. We learn about who He is and what He does. And without this foundation, we will come to the New Testament with really no understanding of who the Spirit is. And I'm afraid that a lot of the charismatic churches and a lot of the problems where people don't have a grasp and understanding of the Holy Spirit is because they focus on the New Testament and they have neglected the Old Testament portions that talk about the Holy Spirit and His work. And that is why it is important for us to get into that foundation, because it's a strong foundation, it's a deep foundation, and it teaches us much about the work of the Spirit of God. Tonight, we're really going to have a very brief survey of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He appears around 100 times throughout the Old Testament. It's a very easy study to start, but it's a very hard study to finish in a very short period of time. Because as you learn more about the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament, it's going to draw your attention to Him. And you're going to want to learn more about Him. You're going to hunger after who He is and what He has done. And so it's easy to start because there is a Hebrew word that you can type in your online Bible or your Bible program, or you could look it up in the concordance, and it's the Hebrew word for Spirit, and it's Ruach. And if you look up that word, it's going to appear some 400 times. And after you look up each instance, you can hone it down to around 100 times where it actually has reference to the Spirit of God. And so wherever you find that reference, you're going to find something, some aspect, some important teaching about God, the Holy Spirit. What we're going to find tonight is we see a personal and divine Spirit that is working from the very beginning of time, and even before that. And through the Old Testament, we come to realize a great need for Him and His work today. And I believe this is the emphasis that we see in the Old Testament, is that there is a need for the Holy Spirit. There is a need for the Holy Spirit. And I want us to come away from this message tonight thinking in our own hearts and in our own minds that we need the Holy Spirit. That there is absolutely no way I can function, my family can function, my church can function with any power, with any form of energy, without the Holy Spirit. And I want you to come across with this thought that you and I need Him more than anything else in this world. We need the Holy Spirit to empower and to energize and to strengthen us even today. Even though we're going to be looking at the Old Testament, we're going to find that much of the work that the Holy Spirit does in the Old Testament is the same work that He does in the New Testament. As God, the Holy Spirit is immutable. He is changeless. He does the same kind of work in the Old as well as in the New. There might be a different outpouring or a different demonstration of His work. It might be more universal or broader in scale, but the work is essentially the same. And the Holy Spirit that they needed back in the Old Testament is the same Holy Spirit that you and I desperately need in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit that they had to rely upon for their life and for their spiritual welfare is the same Holy Spirit that we need to depend on for our life, strength, and spirit. So we're going to be looking at 4 points concerning our need of the Holy Spirit. These are listed there. Our world's need of the Holy Spirit, our physical need of the Holy Spirit, our spiritual need of the Holy Spirit, and finally, our present need of the Holy Spirit. First, let's look at our world's need of the Holy Spirit. The world in which we live could not either be here or function without the working of the Holy Spirit. The world in which we live and the world in which we know, this world cannot function without the Spirit of God working in it. This is what we see in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is actively involved in the world, actively involved throughout the life and ministry of all the God, of God's people, but even the people that do not know God. The Holy Spirit was actively involved from the very beginning to create, to sustain, and to work through this world. We see the world's need of the Holy Spirit through His work of creating. We could have Genesis 1-2 read for us. Here we have the very first mention of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, where was He at the beginning? He was there moving upon the face of the waters. It was not just a static, standing still. It literally says here that He was moving like a wind, breathing, right there with God the Father and God the Son at the time where the earth was completely without form and void, and right before God said, "Let there be light," there was the Holy Spirit right here around the earth, influencing and moving through the form and through the work of creation. There are some other verses that we're going to be looking at that actually teach that the Holy Spirit was one of the agents or the agent of creation. And something that we see throughout the Bible concerning our Holy Trinity is that everything is done from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit works in concert with the Trinity. So the Trinity was at work in the creation of this world. And we see the Holy Spirit at the very beginning present. And this teaches us that He has an important work and ministry within this world. If the Holy Spirit was not present at the beginning, this world would never have been created. But not only do we see His work of creating, and this is why the world needs the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit there at the beginning, moving upon the face of this waters, we would not have this world that we know. But we also see after things were created by God, we see His continuing work of sustaining this world, sustaining it so that it will continue on in what it has already been made to do. We could have Psalm 104:30 read. This is an interesting verse because if you look in the context, it's talking about something called a Leviathan. And this Leviathan may have been some kind of a dinosaur. And this verse is referencing that dinosaur and ascribes to the Holy Spirit the work of creating and sustaining that dinosaur, that Leviathan. He says, "You send forth your Spirit." He's talking to God. You are the one that has set forth your Spirit. They are created. Again, the Holy Spirit is the agent by which these animals, these large monsters, if you will, were created back then. And then, a very interesting phrase, it says, "And thou renewest the face of the earth." If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit doing a continual work of replenishing this world, the world that we know it, as we know it, would cease. Why? Because as animals reproduce and as people reproduce, we have here a teaching that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in the sustaining of the reproduction of the animals and of the people. If God the Holy Spirit didn't breathe into the nostrils the breath of life into Adam, man would have never become a living soul. And if God the Holy Spirit was not actively at present working as every single child is conceived and then given that breath of life anew and a new created soul is made, you know what? Life as we know it would end. This human race would end. The world needs the Holy Spirit, and this is something that the world doesn't understand. They don't understand that God is actively at work through the Holy Spirit to establish this world and to establish what is going on in this world, to renew the face of the earth every single day. Every single time we hold a little baby, that is a work of the Holy Spirit as He renews the face of this earth by giving life to that child. Not only does the world need the Holy Spirit through His work of creation and sustaining this creation, but also through His work of providence. If we can have Isaiah 40 verse 7 read. Here we have an illustration of the power of the Holy Spirit as well as His sustaining and providential work. It's talking about grass withering and flower fades. And of course, it's using that as imagery for people that are not God's people, people that sin. But of course, we can apply that in everything that we see. The Holy Spirit has been used by God and is always being used to do a work of providence. In other words, controlling how life as we see it happens. The Holy Spirit is behind these things. The grass in my backyard that withered. The Bible says here, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. The Spirit of the Lord is actively involved in providence, guiding His creation, sustaining His creation to the appointed end. The appointed end is sure. It is certain. It's not something that He is going to guess at. It's not something that He just has that He is going to grasp at. He is moving this world in the direction of the end that has been intended and set by God from the very beginning of this world. We don't have to doubt what is going to happen. We have for us the Word of God that teaches us what's going to happen. And the agent by which this is going to happen is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that blows upon this world and even causes the grass to wither and the flower to fade. But there's another work that we as believers really need to be thankful for in the fact that He works through the world. And that is His work of restraining this world. We have a world that is sin-cursed. We have a world that where those that do not know the Lord, it seems, as we see in Genesis chapter 6, that the imagination of every heart is only evil continually. And that's what it says there in Genesis chapter 6. But this world would not be where it's at today if it wasn't for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. This world would be like it was before the flood in the days of Noah, where God said, I'm not going to let my Spirit strive with man anymore. I'm going to give a certain period of time and then I'm going to destroy the entire world. If it wasn't for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of unbelievers and believers, this world would be the worst place you could ever imagine. Wars would be far more frequent. Curses, death, disease would be far more pervasive. The evils that we see in this world would be so much worse. The depravity of men would be so much worse if it were not for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. And we see this in a few verses. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, that word abide in the King James says strive. It's talking about a work of the Spirit of God upon men. Upon men. He said, I'm not going to let my Spirit do His work of restraining this world and the sin in this world forever. Why? Because of the evil that is so present and so prevalent in this world. God said at that time, I'm not going to let Him do that forever. In fact, I'm going to, in 120 days or 120 years, destroy this world and start fresh through the choice of Noah. But not only does He work and restrain through His Spirit in that way, and that's kind of a general restraining power, but throughout the Old Testament, we see a very interesting work of God restraining unbelievers. In other words, an unbeliever that wanted to do harm to God's people or to God's work, the Holy Spirit came upon that person and prevented them from doing what they intended to do. In fact, not only that, God, the Holy Spirit, made them do what they did not want to do. Look at this. In Numbers chapter 24, 2. Balaam was an unbelieving prophet. We know he was unbelieving, even though some of the things that he says as inspired by God are amazing. And when you look at what Balaam prophesied in Numbers, some of that stuff is great stuff to look at and to study about God because he was being inspired at that time. But there came a point where after God left him and stopped giving him that gift of prophecy, Balaam went back to his old life. Balaam went back to his old gods and became a false prophet once again. And we know what happened because during the time of Israel coming into Jericho and coming into the land of Israel to destroy Jericho, Balaam was among them. Balaam was an unbeliever. And yet God the Holy Spirit, in His restraining work and power, prevented Balaam from doing what Balaam wanted to do and was in fact getting paid to do. They were paying Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And he was going out to do that. But before he could, God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of him. Let's read Numbers 24, verse 2. The Spirit of God came upon this unbelieving false prophet. He intervened in his life and actually changed his will and behavior to follow after God's will. This is an amazing thing. Now, not only in the life of Balaam, but I didn't list it there, but look at the life of King Saul. King Saul also was a man that was given power by the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. God gave him power to lead the children of Israel. And there were times where he would come upon King Saul to do great works. But something amazing happened. After he sinned and forsook God, the Holy Spirit left King Saul and then resided on David to empower him as king. But even after that, there were times when King Saul, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon King Saul for other reasons. And we see again the work of restraint by the Holy Spirit in the life of King Saul. There was a time when King Saul's henchmen were out to get David. In fact, they even had him surrounded. They were getting very close to capturing King David. And God the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, He came upon these men and they began to prophesy. And they stopped doing what they wanted to do with David. They were there to capture him and take him to King, who they believed was their king, King Saul. And King Saul, I'm sure, was going to take care of business. But God, the Holy Spirit, intervened to restrain the evil that they were intending to do in David. And they literally changed their behavior. And then King Saul himself came out to do the same thing. And through His restraining power, God the Holy Spirit came upon Saul at that time and made him prophesy, taking away his desire and giving him another desire. And He prevented him from doing any evil to God's anointed David. But the Holy Spirit left King Saul once again. And of course, we see God giving him an evil spirit at times. But we see the restraining power of the Holy Spirit throughout this world. And the lesson that we see through this is that we need the Holy Spirit in this world. The world doesn't appreciate the Holy Spirit because they don't know of the Holy Spirit. But the reason why this world is not like it was back, exactly like it was in Noah's time, where God was ready to destroy it at that very moment, is because of the good and restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Any good that we see in this world that comes from even unbelievers, when we have a good president, that God moves throughout the populace to elect a good president, that is the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to recognize His work. We ought to recognize that this is His doing. Any good that we see in this world comes directly from the restraining hands of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be thankful for His work in this world because He still works in this way. He still works in this way. How can a man, how can a woman that the Bible teaches is dead in trespasses and sins do anything good or moral or upright unless the Spirit of God is actively, as an agent, working and moving through this world, restraining evil, upholding His people, and causing this world to reach its intended end? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, this world would not be like we see it. We ought to be thankful for His restraining power. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a lesson that we don't always hear. This is something that we must consider. This world has been restrained and sustained by the power of the Spirit of God. The Old Testament teaches this very clearly. And it carries over the New Testament. When we look at the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working in the world in the same fashion. But we're really striving to look at the Old Testament tonight and see how He works and see our need for Him. Not only did the world of the Old Testament need the Holy Spirit, but also back then there was a physical need for the Holy Spirit. And we're going to learn from this that we also have a physical need of the Holy Spirit. The physical need or the physical gift of the Holy Spirit is a major theme in the Old Testament. There was physical work and gifts that were given to His people and even to people that did not believe in Him. That's a very interesting thing. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God, the Holy Spirit, coming down and doing work with believers and unbelievers to enable them to do physical activities. Often the phrase that we see is that the Holy Spirit came upon someone, or that the Holy Spirit fell upon someone. And whenever we see that, the Holy Spirit is coming upon a specific person for a specific purpose and for a specific period. That's what we see. God selecting certain individuals upon whom He will send His Holy Spirit in power. Certain people. It wasn't on everybody. In fact, when we look at the book of Exodus, where Moses received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enabled him to prophesy and gave him wisdom. And he said, you know, God, this is too much for me. And Aaron said, you need other people to help. Well, then there were 70 other elders of Israel that God sent His Holy Spirit upon. And they were selected individuals. And they were given the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose, and they did it for a specific period. Sometimes, for like Moses, that was until the day he died. Others, it was just, for a period of time, a very brief period of time. Balaam, for example, who is an unbeliever. God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him for a specific purpose, but only for a specific temporary period of time. And what God, the Holy Spirit, would do would distinguish that person for the service of God. Many times throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come suddenly and unexpectedly upon someone. And He would do it for the benefit of His people. And I think this is an important thing for us to grasp when we think about revival. You see, God the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, is like a wind. It goes wherever it wants. And the Holy Spirit is a free agent. He is able to do whatever He desires and go wherever He wants. He is able to do a work in whoever's life that He desires to do that work. He is a perfectly free agent. And so we are also perfectly free to ask Him to move in our midst. But there are times in history, especially during the time of the church, where the Holy Spirit will come down suddenly, unexpectedly, to bless His people in an extraordinary way. And this is what we term a revival. God did it back then, and God still does it today. But there's an example. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles, everyone, because there's an example of this coming of the Spirit of God in a sudden, unexpected way in order to bless His people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14 through 17, there's a man by the name of Jehaziel. And the children of Israel, actually the children of Judah here, were getting ready for a fight. And they were afraid of who they were coming against. And then in verse 14, we see that upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Picture this. There's Jehaziel, just a man like you and I, an ordinary person. He was standing in the midst of the congregation. There could have been thousands of people all around him. They were standing there getting ready to fight this army. They were getting ready to fight, and they were afraid. But all of a sudden, in great suddenness, with an unexpected result, God the Holy Spirit came upon him. And you know what? It says, he said, he prophesied, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I can imagine Jehaziel when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What? Did that come out of me? Unexpected. Sudden. And yet what a blessing it was for the people of God. And God does the same thing through His Spirit upon His people. Let's consider the physical needs of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is a major theme in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was needed for physical life. We can have someone read Job 33:4. This clearly teaches that the Spirit of God is actively at work in bringing about physical life. You and I owe our very lives to the direct working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God hath made me, Job says, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. But he also gives physical strength. Let's turn to the book of Judges together, in Judges chapter 13. We're going to start there. But throughout the Judges, just about every judge, it is said that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And there's one judge in particular that we find the Holy Spirit actively at work through, and that is the judge by the name of Samson. Samson. And we meet up with Samson in Judges chapter 13. But we first hear of the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Samson in Judges 13:25. And let's look at that verse. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him," referring to Samson, "at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." So here we have the Spirit of God moving upon Samson, and that's an interesting word or interesting phrase, "at times." Here God was directing him to different camps to learn how to fight and to learn what God would have for him to do. So there were times that the Spirit would say, "I want you to go to the camp of Dan, and I want you to go there and learn about this." And then he would go home, and then the Holy Spirit would come upon him and say, "Now I want you to go back to the camp and learn this." And so God was actively at work, and again, for specific periods of time. Many times they were temporary. But then we find how God, the Holy Spirit, empowered Samson in his physical strength. Now, you and I have seen pictures of Samson, haven't we? Especially there's a famous picture where Samson is holding the gate of over his head of a city when he tore down that gate when he was escaping. And he held that gate over his head. And if you see that picture, Samson is rippling. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was in his younger days. He looks like he was Mr. Olympus. He was a very strong man. That's the picture that we have in our mind of Samson. But if that was truly the way Samson looked, why is it that the people, the Philistines especially, would look at Samson and wonder what made him so strong? You remember that? God said, don't shave your head, and as long as your hair is long, you will have strength. And so if they were wondering how he got his strength, it wouldn't be because he was buff and strong and had muscles rippling from ear to ear. He had to have been an average-sized person that people were just absolutely astonished at his strength. And yet we see that his strength didn't come from his size. It didn't even come from his hair. His strength, his physical strength that God gave him in order to do wonderful and amazing things came directly from the Holy Spirit. Look at Judges 14:6. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and as he came across this lion, he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, without a weapon, but he told it not to his father and mother what he had done." The Spirit of the Lord empowered him physically to destroy that lion. Look down at verse 19 of chapter 14. "Again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house." Again, the Spirit of God came down upon him physically, empowered him to do this mighty work of killing those 30 people. And then if you look across to chapter 15, verses 14 through 15, and we can go on and on through his life. It says here in Judges 15:14, "When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him again, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of a donkey, and put forth his hand, and he took it and slew 1,000 men therewith." That's an amazing power. But it didn't come from his physical strength that he had alone. It came from the power enabled by the Holy Spirit. You and I need physical strength, don't we? We are weak individuals. And this is something that we fail to understand as Christians. When we need strength and power to do the service of God, where does it come from? Where does our strength ultimately come from? Who can we appeal to and cry out to when our body just can't seem to go on anymore? We need to stop trusting in ourselves, and we need to start trusting in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only do we see physical strength given by the Holy Spirit, but also physical skill. Physical skill and wisdom. We understand that God has gifted people in different things, and this is talking primarily not about spiritual gifts, but here we see physical gifts. We can have Exodus 28:3 read. If you remember the story of the children of Israel as the Lord was bringing them together to prepare the tabernacle, and God said, I am going to have you make things that I show to you. And God did a very wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit gave skill to certain men of God in order to do the physical work of establishing His tabernacle. The verse that Carol just read was that God was bringing wise men who He filled with the Spirit of wisdom to make Aaron's garments. God had a specific criteria for the garments that He was going to have come into His Holy of Holies to serve Him. So God said, I'm going to give specific skill, physical skill, in order to do that to these men. And then in Exodus chapter 31, verses 2 through 3, we see how God gifted others to work on the tabernacle itself. If we can have those verses read. Again, physical skill given directly by the hand of the Holy Spirit in order to do the work on the tabernacle. Here we have a man by name. I don't know about you, but that thrills me. God gave this man by name and said, this man Bezalel, or however you'd pronounce it, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. What? To do what? To work with his hands and to prepare the tabernacle the way God would intend. That's an amazing thing. And again, so often we think that we have certain skills and abilities and we want to hone those and enhance those. But ultimately, who gives us these skills? Ultimately, who is able to develop these skills and to give us, as it says here, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship? Who really can hone our skills? It's the Spirit of God. We depend so much on ourselves that we fail to realize that we have a need to pray to and depend upon the Holy Spirit even for the daily skills that we need in this life. We as believers are so deficient of the Holy Spirit. We are so reliant on ourselves and not on the Spirit, even in the physical needs that we have. Tonight, I know we're getting late, but we're going to finish point two, and then next Sunday night we'll look at points three and four. So some of you are going to be off the hook reading, but that's okay. But what about physical guidance? What about knowing God's will? Where to go and what to do? You know, I remember my brother when he was getting ready to go to college, and I was in high school, and I remember my mom bought him a book, and that book was How to Know God's Will for Your Life, because he had no idea what he wanted to do in college or even with his life. He had no idea. He had some interests in this, that, and the other. He's kind of a jack of all trades, and I'm still wondering if he really knows what he wants to do with the rest of his life. Actually, I think he's getting pretty close now. Now that he's in Zambia and serving the Lord there. But sometimes we wonder, well, what about this job? Is this the job that God has for me? Or what about these? And these are really physical questions that we have. But what does the Bible teach concerning the Spirit of the Lord involved in these things? Judges 13:25. You can have that read. Again, this is a verse we've already read about Samson. Here we have the Spirit of the Lord moving him at times in the camp. God was giving Samson understanding of where he wanted him to go and what he wanted him to do. He gives him guidance. And this is where we come and say, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need you more than anything else in this world. Now, most of the time, the Holy Spirit worked in a physical way. That was needed in the Old Testament, and it is still needed today, isn't it? It's still needed today. And yet we rely so much on our own strength and our own effort that we ignore the potential that God the Holy Spirit is still able to work and still desires to work in that way by empowering us physically. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our physical lives just as much as we need Him to work in our spiritual lives. Yet often we stop relying on Him and start relying on ourselves and our own strength. I want you to remember the verse that I started this entire series out with, and that was Zechariah 4:6, where God says to Zerubbabel, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." There's a lot of things that we think we can do by our might and by our power. And yet the Lord says, it's not by that, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We are human beings, and we are fleshly human beings. We want to be able to have control over things. We think that our ideas and our handiwork and our ability is the best. And yet we need to realize that the things that we have and the workmanship and the ability, the skills and the wisdom and these physical things that we have, even the sustaining work and the power that we see in the world, it comes from the hand of the Spirit of God. And if we really understand this, when we stop and we have a question about these things physically, instead of thinking first, well, what am I going to do about it? We first think, well, God, what do you want me to do about this? Now, I don't like to pick on individual people, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but Brother John has been an encouragement to me in this area, because I remember him telling me at times, because you know my mechanical ability is next to zero, all right? Anything I put my hands on, it tends to get worse. But I appreciate Brother John because he does have some ability in mechanical things. But you know where he gets that? He'd tell you right up front, the Lord. The thing that encouraged me most about him is he was telling me one story that he was working on his car and he came to a point where he didn't really know what to do. And he stopped and he prayed and said, Lord, show me what to do. And then he says he was able to do it. You might think, well, but he was able to do it. But yet, how was he able to do it? The thing about the Holy Spirit is that God shows us the scene, the backdrop. You know, many times if you're watching a play, you see everything going on up front, but you fail to see what's going on behind the scenes. And when we look at the Holy Spirit, we see Him actively at work behind the scenes. And He's doing this. It's just as real as if He was doing it visibly and we could see everything that He was doing. But as a wind, you cannot see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. And so we see when you ask and you say, Lord, I need help in doing this physical labor and physical skill. You know what the Lord's going to do? The Holy Spirit is going to move in His mysterious way. Like a wind where you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to. And He's going to give you that skill, that physical strength and that ability. There are sometimes I don't know how I can get up here and preach when I have a burden on my heart, when I don't feel good. But in some way, the Lord strengthens my body and strengthens my soul and strengthens my voice. And it comes because I say, Lord, I need Your Spirit today. It's not by my might. It's not by my power. But it's by Your Spirit. And You said so. Jesus said it a different way. In John 6:63, He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now that verse is speaking primarily concerning our spiritual need for the Holy Spirit, but it applies all the same. The Spirit does this work of quickening. Our flesh, even though we think we're able to do things, yet without the Holy Spirit sustaining us and enabling us and giving us skill and wisdom and power, we really can't. We are in absolute dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. They were back in the Old Testament and we are today. The Holy Spirit works the same way. He is, like Christ, as it says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're going to see how there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament concerning the working of the Holy Spirit. But it's not so much in what He does, but in where He does it. And so I'm going to propose to you next Sunday night that we have a greater ability and a greater accessibility, if you will, to be enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit today than they did even back then, because that was upon specific people for specific purposes and for specific times, and yet now Christ says, I have given you my Holy Spirit. He is now indwelling you. You are His temple. You are my temple. Back then, God dwelt in His temple there on the mount. Now He dwells in His temple, the people, and He is able to enable you whenever you seek Him. We must depend on the Holy Spirit. And I pray that tonight you have come to the realization that you need the Holy Spirit more than breath itself. In fact, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would not be breathing tonight. Because He is actively at work. Behind the scenes, yes. Sometimes in an invisible way. But He is actively at work, sustaining us. Restraining the world so that we can serve Him and please Him. And doing so that we can be enabled for His work. Are you depending on Him? Do you need Him? I pray tonight that we see as a church that we need the Holy Spirit to do a work. We need the Holy Spirit to do work in our individual lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our nation, in Iraq, across the world, in all these different nations that we see these things. We need the Holy Spirit, and it ought to bring us to our knees. Say, Lord, I need You. Let's close in prayer.